struggling to know what they should do, maybe where they should go, maybe struggling with how to believe in You, that today would be the answer. Now, Lord, we commit this morning into Your hands, this time into Your hands. We pray that You would speak through me, that You would use Your Spirit to empower the words that I speak, that they're Your words and not mine. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This last week has been a crazy week, and actually, the last month has been a crazy month. You know, we've heard all these news reports on TV and radio, and of course, it's just some of the crazy things going on in this world. One of the things that really struck my attention, and that's what the Lord kind of threw at me for the sermon today, is the news that the director of the FBI was on a news program at one point, and he said this quote, this is only a portion of the quote, he said, "There is no such thing as absolute privacy in America." Then he went on and he talked about how, you know, our conversations are listened to, and you know, and even conversations between husband and wife are not private anymore. And I thought, what is going on? And then we listened to a news program, and I'll give a little advertisement plug for this news program. If you ever want to listen to some Christian, a future end times kind of news program, Rick Wiles of True News. You can get an app for your phone, or you can get it on your computer. Rick Wiles, True News. He reported from Barcelona, Spain. He went to a Mobile World Congress, and what he thought it was going to be was something to talk about phones, you know, because they have this news program on the radio, and they wanted to know more about how to communicate it on the phones, and they want to get into video streaming and things like that. And so he goes to this conference with a producer of his, and they want information on technology and preparing for the future. And what he got information-wise was more than he bargained for. He found out that they're working on a 5G network right now. Most phones all that you have, smartphones, are on 4G. Network. They're working on a 5G network now. And the smartphones will be smarter. They're already smarter than I am, but they're going to be smarter. Even your shoes, they were talking about, will have smart technology. You know how some people, they wear the watch and they walk around and they jog or whatever, and it tells them what they've done calorie-wise. Well, the shoes are going to start doing that. And they may even make you pick up your step. I don't know how they're going to do that, but they say that the shoes are actually going to be smarter than us. They have swarm drones right now, and I have actually gotten some things off the internet, and we're in our Wednesday study, which is we're postponing Revelation for a couple weeks, but in the Revelation study, we're talking about the future things, and these will come up. I will have that shown. You know, you saw the swarm drone technology in the Super Bowl. If you watch the Super Bowl, the flag and some of the things that they did, those were all drones. Now, the military have drones that they can send up, hundreds of drones, and they communicate with each other, and they fly just like a flock of birds. And they can send them on missions, like, you know, they have facial recognition technology now. And if they and they just enter your name into the computer and they get your face. You usually have hundreds of photographs on computer. And they will insert them into that program and say, seek them out. And then they can do whatever they want with you. They can attack, they can whatever. This is kind of technology that's coming out. They also are proposing low-flying satellites, and he recommended that we all go outside, take our kids outside when it's dark, and show them the stars, because that landscape, that starscape, was going to change, because there's going to be so many low-flying satellites in the sky. They're planning on this being in effect, 5G network, by 2020. They're talking when that 5G network begins, they will unveil what they call a global brain computer. And this global brain will collect all the information that's collected. All the phone calls, all the pictures, all the internet contact. Anything you do over the wires, even home phone, that's not even going to be taken out. That's all included. Everything you do is not private. It will be in this global computer. And if they flag something, say they flag a word like Jesus Christ, and you say that over your phone and you talk about that, they can flag that and they can find you. Because they're also going to incorporate in the near future chips in your clothing so that you will not be anywhere that they won't know where you're at. And this is all true stuff coming out of this conference. It sounds weird, sounds like, you know, this is crazy, but it is true. They also talked about a UN Agenda 2030. It's a global plan to level the playing field. Everyone is going to have equal pay. No one's going to be in poverty. They're going to eliminate poverty is what this 2030 agenda is. And so to do that, of course, you know, everyone will be on a socialist pay scale. No conversation, nothing will be private. To shift gears, in Israel, they put together the Sanhedrin now. It has not been in effect for a long time. Now they have a Sanhedrin. They have recommended Rabbi Baruch Kahin as the high priest. He has not accepted the position yet, but they will have a high priest soon. Rabbi Hillel Weiss said, quote, "The only obstacle preventing the temple service today is a political issue. When that changes, they can start the temple ceremonies, services, sacrifices immediately." There is a temple institute creating a list of Kohanim, which are the priestly tribe, and they educate men on the priestly sacrifices and all the different things. They train them. It's actually like a college, and they're training them that way. They've also said that as soon as they get the political go-ahead, they can build the temple within 2 weeks. This pope, shifting gears again, this pope has called for an end to fundamentalists. He said that we're too strict and we need to accept one another, to have a global acceptance that we all worship the same God. Time magazine listed him as one of the most influential people of the year. 2017 marks the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Reformation, 50 years of the Lutheran Catholic dialogue. Shifting back to the Sanhedrin, Putin and Trump, you know, they're pretty important individuals today. Putin visited Israel in 2012, and he gave support to the Jews building their temple. Trump has also said that Jerusalem should be the capital, and is moving that direction. Rabbi Weiss, again, he said, "The political conditions today in which the two most important national leaders in the world support the Jewish right to Jerusalem as their spiritual inheritance is historically unprecedented." They wrote letters, the Sanhedrin wrote letters to Putin and Trump requesting that they take up their duty and allow the Jewish people to build the temple. So it's in their court right now. So this is only the tip of the iceberg. There is so much more that's been going on in the world, and it's not being reported. It's not being reported because they don't care. the media, the secular media, doesn't care about these things. You have to dig to find these things. So what I want us to do is I want us to go to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to get some perspective on this. Matthew chapter 24, 1509 in your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 24. In chapter 24, verse 1, it says, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him and called his attention to its buildings. Do you see these things? He asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. And if you know anything about the history of the world, if you've been living any length of time, back in the 80s, we all thought it was the end. You know, we were preaching it and talking about it and studying it. In fact, that's why I actually delayed going to school to be a pastor, because I thought, time's too short. I don't have time. And I'm going to get right to it. And so I got in, you know, kind of like an apprenticeship, if you want to call it that. And the education came later. But, you know, the thing was is I thought it was imminent. It was going to happen in the next few years. And it didn't. You know, so then, you know, I start looking at the world climate now. And I think, you know, back in the 80s, we didn't have anything what we have today. We don't have the things that are happening. In fact, I looked up, you know, we talked about earthquakes, you know, I looked it up. In 2004 and 2014, in between those 10 years, there was 18 earthquakes over 8.0 on the Richter scale. And when they look back a century and start to compile, okay, how is that trend going? They found that was 265% over the average of the last century. 265%. In other words, earthquakes have increased. They're talking a huge earthquake is bound to come. It's overdue right now. And they're talking that's going to happen. But we know that a huge earthquake is going to happen as we talk about when we talk about Revelation. But we talk also that these false teachers and these false messiahs are coming out and deceiving people. And we see that today now. We see people being deceived and told that this is the way they should believe and this is the way they should worship. In verses 9 through 14, it talked about persecution. And it says that you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You'll be hated by all the nations because of me. Sound familiar? At that time, you'll turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And we see that even now. They talked about in this global summit in Barcelona, they said that not one spot in planet Earth will be without internet or access to internet. These low-flying satellites are going to cover every part of the world. Persecution, we see that constantly. The wickedness has increased. You see people? I mean, it was unbelievable. We watched some of these news programs where they have these people who are up for like murder and whatever it might be. And one instance, I remember, that this guy turned around and waved to the cameras. He was being charged with murder of a teenage girl, raped and murdered, and he turned around and waved at the camera and all smiles. The love of most will grow cold because they don't care. Satan has robbed us of our feelings. And you know, parents, I know you like to let your kids play the video games, you know, because video games keep them occupied. But I want to tell you that is part of the desensitizing our kids. Because I hear them on the bus when I substitute and drive for them, you know, and a few years ago I was driving pretty regular, and I hear these kids behind me saying, "Well, yeah, you have to kill that guy to get to this, and then you kill this person, and you gotta, you know, run over that guy," and they're talking, these are video games. And you can't do those kinds of things without feeling like, well, who cares? You know, let's drive our car and run over somebody. Part of the game. You know, these are the kinds of things that are happening, and the gospel, however, you know, technology may be to promote wickedness, but it's also going to promote the gospel, because the gospel is going to go to everywhere, and it's going to ride on this technology that is wanting to move and motivate wickedness. I want us to go to a couple more scriptures here. First of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1798 in your pew Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We read the first verse of that, verse 13. Chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians, it says in verse 13, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." You know, we're not going to stay here. We're going to be caught up. We're going to be taken out of here. And why is that? Well, let's look at chapter 5. Excuse me. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so this day should surprise you like a thief. You're sons of the light." Now I want you to drop down to verse 9. "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him." You see, we're not supposed to be here during the tribulation. That 7-year period when the tribulation comes is going to be a horrific time. And I'm not saying yahoo. I'm saying horrible. It's going to be filled with major earthquakes. It's going to be filled with nuclear devastation. It talks about in Revelation a third of things being destroyed. Not only the oceans, but all the grass burned up. Waters being poisoned. A third of those things. It's going to be terrible to try and live and survive through that 7-year period. But you know what? God doesn't want us to go through that. As believers, He's coming to get us. He's going to remove us from that. How do I know that? Let's go to the next scripture. It's in 2 Thessalonians. Just flip over to the next book. 2 Thessalonians 18:01, if you close the Bible. 18:01. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says this: "Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and are being gathered to Him. We ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Uh-oh, well, when are we leaving? Don't you remember, he says, that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things. And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the splendor of his coming. Now, this lawless one is called the Antichrist. The Antichrist will rise to power during that 7-year period. He's going to make peace with the nations. You know, you're going to say, wow, peace with the nations? Yes, he's going to have power given by Satan to have peace in the whole world. And people are going to rejoice with that. But before he can be revealed, we have to be gone. Christians have to be gone. You notice what it says here? He is holding him back. Who is it that he? That he is the Holy Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit within us. We all are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We're holding back the Antichrist right now. He's probably alive right now. And we're holding him back because of the Holy Spirit. You know that if we saw him starting to rise to power, we would all be, that's the one! Don't believe him! We would be resisting him constantly, and he wouldn't have his way. In fact, we're doing it right now. It says the lawless acts are already in the world today. Isn't that true? I mean, it's crazy what's going on. But you know who they're blaming for holding them back? For not having peace? Us! There was one individual that said, Christians need to be out of the way. They're the ones causing the trouble. Scalia, even before he passed away, he gave a speech to a bunch of college kids. And he said, if you don't think that Christians are looked at as the enemy, think again. Because we're the fundamentalists. We're the ones that are saying, you know, no, you can't do that. We're the ones that are saying, no, homosexual marriage, no, you can't do that. Same sex this, transgender that. We're you know, abortion, no, no, no. And everybody's looking at us and saying, why don't you just go away? You know, shut up. Stop making our lives miserable. Do you think that they're going to have parties when we're gone? Absolutely. And when we're gone, the lawless acts will all of a sudden be, woo, we can do it whatever we want now. Because they're gone. Now, there will be people who will come to Christ during the tribulation period. But they're going to have a tough road to go. Because during that 7-year period, remember back at the World Congress? Or that world get-together in Barcelona, that everyone will be monitored, it'll be very difficult to hide. You're going to have to make sure that your clothes are not going to have that chip or whatever in it. You're going to have to make sure that you get rid of your cell phones. You're not going to be able to have cell phones. You're not going to be able to have anything of futuristic type technology. You're going to have to go to the very basics. Live in a cabin out in the woods. Have no water, you know, no running water anyways. You're going to be in a survival situation because they will track you down. Scripture says that you'll be beheaded for your faith. In Revelation, it talks about the spirits of those underneath the altar of God, spirits of those who have been killed for their faith during the tribulation period, and they cry out to God, how long are you going to let this go? So, it is a serious situation. And if I sound urgent or intense, I am, because it isn't a joke. Time is very short, and I am no more convinced than I ever have been. It's just unbelievable what is happening in the technology area. Wall Street investor who's very respected said that technology is going to explode in the next few years. If you want to invest in something, you know, I thought, well, we can invest in it, but we'll be gone. But if you want to invest in something, technology is where you want to put your investment, because it's just going to explode in the next few years. It says it's going to be into the $1 trillion boom, and it's just going to explode. The advancements in technology, no one is going to be hidden. No conversation, private. So, what's the answer? Well, you know, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, the second part of verse 10, it says this. It says, they perish, the people who are remaining, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Because Satan is going to throw a deception with signs and wonders, it says in the previous verse, verse 9, signs and wonders, and every sort of evil deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. You see, in verse 12, it says, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Have you seen that in the world today? People delight in wickedness. No longer are people shocked by sin and think, you watch TV now and think back when you were a child. You know, some of you that are like 50, 60 years old, think back when you were a child with black and white TV, three channels, Father Knows Best, and My Three Sons, and those kind of programs, and how much different today it is. Now I heard that Beauty and the Beast, you know, sorry to say, they have a gay couple kissing in that movie. Why? It's promoting. They talk about tolerance. It's not tolerance. It's promoting evil. We delight in wickedness in this world. And so because they refuse to believe the truth, they choose to believe the lie. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 9 through 11, it says this, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact as you are doing. That's the encouragement. That we don't have to suffer through the tribulation. We will be free from the tribulation. Only through Jesus Christ is salvation found. You don't want to go through the tribulation, believe me. And if you know friends and family, you need to tell them. They may reject it. They may not like to hear what you're saying. But at least tell them. We have a thing in our library. It's a framed, two frames in our library over on the left side wall when you walk into the library straight ahead. And I wrote it up for people who will be left behind. Because you know what people are going to do when they're left behind? They're going to come to the church. Because they want answers. Somebody's going to remember. You know, I heard somebody say that. Maybe you told a neighbor and said, you know, hey, we're going to be gone. You don't want to go through the tribulation. They're going to say, you know, I remember they said that. And they're going to come here. And they're going to go to the library because they're going to look for books. Something to tell them. And that paper is going to be in there and it tells you what happened. It's going to tell people what they need to do. Instructions for the tribulation. It sounds bad, but that's what we have to do. You know, I prepare things. If I knew that I was going to have a fire in the house, if I knew that there was a fire, somebody came up to me and said, I'm telling you, you're going to have a fire tomorrow at 5 p.m.
What would you do?
Well, I'd go pull out all my valuables, put them in the car. You know, I'd take things that I really cherish, pictures and maybe some of the things that I value most, and I would put them in the car in preparation. Well, if the fire doesn't come, you kind of go, well, you know, he didn't know what he was talking about. But if the fire does come, aren't you prepared? Same thing with this. You know, we could talk about, boy, you know, it'd be nice 10, 20 years. But what if we don't have 10 or 20 years? What if we only have tomorrow? What if tomorrow Jesus comes? What if next week? Or not even a year? Are you ready? Are you prepared? I want us to take a moment and pray. And ask the Lord to prepare us. If you're not prepared, you pray what I pray. And get your heart ready, because it's going to happen. And I would hate to see you left here through the tribulation. Father, we come before you. This is a scary thing in a lot of ways. But as Christians, we don't have to be afraid. We can have full confidence. If you come tomorrow, praise the Lord. I'm ready. I'm not staying here. I'm going to be with you. But Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here not ready, I pray that they would just pray a simple prayer. Just pray, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I don't want to be left behind. Forgive me of the sins I've committed. Make me a new creature. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will come in and fill me up. Make me your child. Lord, I pray. Lord, for those of us, maybe we're older Christians, we believe, but maybe we just kind of held it in. We need to start talking about it. I pray boldness for you. I pray boldness for all of us, that we are able to share it with family or friends that maybe we've kind of hesitated because we don't want to ruffle their feathers. But boy, I hate to see if they were left behind. Lord, we give you all this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to close with our final song. It's Cleanse Me. It's up on the screen.